Good morning, and my name is Steve Tomlinson, one of the teaching pastors of Shelter Rock Church. So we're in staff meeting this past Monday, and it was Pastor Greg who said, "Can somebody help me here? What is a mirror selfie?" And, you know, we're not all experts on this, but it's when you take your picture of yourself looking in the mirror. So you actually are getting the mirror image, and we had to be like educated on this. And so I usually view Pastor Greg as more of the cool pastor, but you know, we had to bring him up to speed as to what's going on. So what was funny today, I just went down to my office a moment ago. He just sent me a selfie. And why he did, I sent him on an assignment. There's a brand new church opening next to our Westbury campus, 1 mile away. It's a great church. It's called V1. And so I sent Pastor Greg there to meet the new pastor at that church. So he wanted to send me a picture to prove that he met the new pastor. Selfies are very helpful that way. But we've been looking at this message series and seeing how do we break away from having our lives all about us and actually considering the possibility that maybe my life is to be given over to the purposes of God. And I must decrease, as John the Baptist said, and he must increase. And how can that happen? You know, one of the ways it helps me to move in that direction is who I hang out with, how I spend some time. So this past week, I had a lunch, it was actually on Friday, with one of the leaders from St. Mary's School. It's a private school right on the end of Plan Dome Road. And we met at TGI Friday. They had a great lunch. But every time I go to TGI Friday, I look at this round table, and I'm always reminded of a conversation I had there years ago that was so pivotal for helping me realize it's not about me. It was with one of our young missionary couples. Her name was Missy Camiola. She was sitting there with her children and her husband, and she was explaining why, as a mother of four children, which the oldest was 10 and the youngest was 1 year old, that they were going to go to northern Nigeria. Now, this is the part of Nigeria where Boko Haram, the terrorist group, kidnapped the 200 children, women. And you may know that the rest of the story, Boko Haram actually killed all the men, but they kidnapped the children. And this is where she's moving with her family. Youngest, 1 year old, oldest 10. And I had to ask her, Missy, why would any mother do this? Now, I'm supposed to be the encourager, you know, pastor, good missionary, but I'm like, you're crazy. This is what I'm thinking in my mind. And she said, you know, John, my husband has been asking us to go become missionaries in Nigeria for some time now. And I agreed that we'll go on a summer missions trip. And so we went on a summer mission trip. And she said, it was towards the end of that trip, I'm walking through a missionary cemetery. Now, these were the missionaries that came over in the 19th century, the ones that packed all their belongings in a coffin because they know they would never make it back to England or never make it back to the United States. And on one of the gravestones had these words, "I consider it my great joy to give my life here in Africa for the gospel." And when she read that, and then she thought, now we have Skype, FaceTime, telephones, jet planes, we can come home. She turned to John and said, let's do this. And they've been there ever since. In fact, her ministry is an organization called Grace Gardens, where they rescue women from brothels. And I think of all the women that have been rescued because she took a chance. You see, these missionary lives help me look at my own life, not to be selfish, but to pursue selfless. And a missionary that has impacted me for much of my life is a man by the name of Jim Elliot. Now, many of you have never heard this name. He was born in 1927. In 1945, he went to Wheaton College in Illinois, and he was the kind of guy that was a little annoying at a Christian college to bump into. You see, this was his reputation, and you look at the people who described him, they say, we just could not stand bumping into him, particularly if you didn't have your coffee in the morning yet. Because he'd be walking down the campus, down the sidewalk, and he would see somebody, and he'd go, Mary, give glory! Now, what does that mean? What he's wanting to get from Mary is, what was her quiet time with the Lord today like? And what verse did God give her? Now, if somebody greeted you every morning with this greeting, what did you learn from the Lord this morning in your Bible reading? Now, of course, he's presuming they read the Bible this morning. And so people used to avoid the sidewalk just to stay away from Jim Elliot. But when people look at his life and what ultimately happened in his life, they look back at those times and they begin to understand his passion. It was his junior year in college, 1948, he wrote down what became his most famous quote, which is, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to receive what he cannot lose." We'll learn a little bit more about Jim Elliot and why he helps me not to be selfish, but to be selfless towards the end of the message. But right now, I'd like us to prepare our hearts in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the privilege we have now to sit at your feet and to learn what it means to be a Christ follower, what it means to be a living sacrifice. We pray that you would help us, speak to us exactly with what we need, every man, woman, student that is in this room. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if you have a Bible with you, will you grab it and open it now to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. If you're using one of our Bibles, you'll find this on page 1171 in any of the Bibles located around the room. The Apostle Paul is the writer of the letter. He's writing to the church in Rome. And inside your worship folder is a sheet, along with that Thrive advertisement. It is this sheet right here. It's the notes for this message. Now, why am I providing notes for this message? I actually have this far, outlandish hope that maybe you and I could learn something this morning, and you might want to take a note down to see if God is speaking to you. So keep this in mind. We drop into the text, and here's what the Apostle Paul tells to us. He says, Romans 12, verse 1, "Therefore, in light of what I just said, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So here are your first fill in the blanks based on this passage. It's this: we are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. Now, you probably have in your mind this concept of what a sacrifice might look like. You think of the old Hebrew sacrifice where they took an animal and the animal was consumed on the altar. And now Paul's saying, take that image and may your life be a living sacrifice, that your life is consumed for God's purposes, that your life is a sweet-smelling fragrance before God Almighty. He goes on, and he says this, and this is your next fill-in. We are not to conform, there's your word, to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Have you ever noticed that this world has a very easy way of causing us to want to be conformed to it? My wife and I have told all our children growing up, you have a choice. You can be an influencer or an influencee. In other words, when you hang out with certain students, they can influence you to make bad choices, or you can make good choices. So my son this week was in Indianapolis. He's a fireman, and he was going to a convention. And this was his first business convention that he went to. Now, for those of us who are older, we've gone to conventions, and when 30,000 firemen converge on one city, good things can happen, bad things can happen. So the first thing in my mind is, are you going to be an influencer, influence the guys around you to make good choices, or are you just kind of like be a lemming and go with the tide and just see what happens? Paul says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but instead be transformed by what God is doing in you, which means that you and I have an optimism that the Lord God Almighty may be saying something to me even now in this room. And now here's the cool thing. If we do this, there is a promise attached to the scripture. Do you ever want to know what God's will for your life is? I know I do. Look what the promise is. Here's your last fill-in. As a result, we will be able to test and approve what God's will is. And Paul adds this, his good, pleasing, perfect will. Man, I want to know what that is. But he says, if I offer my life as a living sacrifice, I, Lord, say, this is my life. Please receive it. Use it for your purposes. And I'm going to seek to no longer conform to the pattern of this world, but I'm going to choose godly directions and be transformed. I gain something. I am able to discern the will of God. Now, that's pretty cool. I want that in my life. But is it at this point, I want to just focus on that word that began this whole thing, the word therefore. Because if the word therefore is there, it means Paul, everything he just said is based on what preceded it. And what is it that preceded this passage? It is actually a doxology. Doxology is another word, it's a Latin word for praise. And what it refers to is that periodically, Paul, when he's writing his letters, God just gets so great in his mind, he says, I just got to break out into praise. And that's what he did right before this. This is what his doxology was. He says in chapter 11, verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments, his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Then Paul says, therefore, in light of everything we have received from this incredible, amazing God, let's make our lives living sacrifices before him. This doesn't come out of the blue. It comes from something that we have received. And if you have seen, and if you've looked into the eyes of the crucified Lord, and you realize this is a great gift, I want to give my life back to him. That is the foundation of this passage. Which now brings us to Paul getting specific. How do we do this? How do we become living sacrifices? And I love when Paul gets very specific because I can respond to it. So we look at verse 3, and Paul speaks of that he's received a grace, and so have we. Here we go, verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Okay, is that for a selfie series? Perfect. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same functions, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance to your faith. If your gift is serving, then serve. If your gift is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And so as I look at this, and now here's your next fill in the blanks, you can see specifically 7 spiritual gifts that the Apostle Paul mentions. You can go to the next slide. You see them all underlined here, what those gifts are. And you can just put those on the fill in the blanks. Now, a quick word on spiritual gifts. First of all, if you are somebody who wants to learn what is your spiritual gift, there are 4 passages in which the spiritual gifts are listed. I'm going to give them to you right now. They're not on the screen. First one is this, Romans chapter 12. The second one is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So both chapters 12 of Romans and 1 Corinthians. The next one is Ephesians chapter 4. The letter to the Ephesians chapter 4. And the last one is 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, every one of these lists of spiritual gifts are kind of ad hoc. In other words, the apostles are not saying, here's the exhaustive list of spiritual gifts. But these are the ones specifically mentioned in the New Testament. And so that's intriguing. So I want you to think for a moment, if you've written down these gifts, as to, are you gifted in any of these specific gifts that are mentioned here, these seven? Now, the first one might confuse you a little bit. It says the gift of prophesying. Now, what does it mean to be a prophet? You know, in my mind, I think of this Old Testament prophet, you know, wearing robes and thus says the Lord. But you know, people in this room have the gift of prophecy. What is the gift of prophecy? It is when you are divinely inspired to share something the Lord has placed on your heart for the encouragement, the betterment, or the challenge, the exhortation of another person in your life. And this can be a very powerful experience both for you, the speaker, and for the person receiving it. I'm going to give you an example. When I was 19 years old, I was dating this girl, and she went to a church in Douglaston area. And so I went to this church service with her. And the funny thing is, fast forward in time, the former pastor of this church attends Shelter Rock now. You know, so it just kind of funny as time moves on. But I'm in this church, and it's a small church, maybe 30 people. And this woman comes up to me, and she said this. I remember it exactly. The Lord would say to you, you are going to be a teacher of my people, and you need to prepare now for what God has in store for your life. Now, at age 16, I received my calling to become a pastor. I didn't talk about it a lot, you know, just a handful of people knew it. And out of the blue, a person I've never met in my life comes up to me and confirms what I already felt the Lord was saying in my own heart. How do you think that felt for me? Think it was a positive thing? It was awesome. It was like, God, you actually see me. You're looking. You're drawing me to yourself. If you have a word that God has placed on your heart, that he's saying, go up. Tell her. Tell him what they need to hear. And you just keep it to yourself. You are robbing that person of a blessing they may have. And by the way, sometimes the word could be challenging. But ultimately, it is for the betterment. That's what the gift of prophecy is. Here's another one, serving. Some people have this gift of serving. I was in the hospital a couple weeks ago, and what's there is a very serious incident, and the room was filled with people. But one person in the room had the gift of service. She found every chair in the entire hospital and filled the room with them because we were all standing up, and emergency rooms very rarely have enough chairs for anyone. And yet she, in her gift of service, accomplished this very simple thing. Do you have the gift of service? Paul is saying, take note of where you have been gifted. Here's another one, teaching. Can you teach? Are you using your teaching gift? Here's another one, encouragement. When you have the gift of encouragement, please, 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 do not withhold that. We need it. This morning, I'm at my breakfast table, and I had a boring breakfast because I ate all evil foods yesterday. So I decided that my breakfast today was going to be an apple. Apples are okay. I do not get into apples that much, though. So I'm eating my apple, thinking I better, you know, be good because of all the decadent food I ate yesterday. And I go to check my email. In my email was a person with the gift of encouragement giving me an encouraging word. And if you're a pastor and you get an encouraging word 7 in the morning on Sunday morning before you got to preach 3 times, this is like the perfect timing. And I was so grateful that that person used their gift on my behalf. Is that your gift? Use it. Giving. You know, this is a funny thing. You don't have to be rich to have the gift of giving. I have bumped into some of the poorest people who are just incredibly generous. But if you have this gift, don't be ashamed of it. Use it in faith, believing God is going to provide for you. He's going to take care of you. Use your gift of giving to lead. How many of us need leaders in our lives? Or we work in organizations that desperately cry out for a leader. I was reading a story written by a pretty famous church leader, and he talked about going to this little church in Michigan. And, you know, he's pastor of this massive church. And so now he's at this church of under 100 people. And so the organist starts playing at the very beginning, kind of a prelude, playing Come Holy Spirit. So this pastor is, you know, just preparing his heart, you know, Come Holy Spirit. And then about 60 seconds before sermon time, before the service time, he hears this door creak and he opens an eye to see what's going on. This little man comes out and he goes to the podium with a microphone in his hand. And he's like, uh-oh, I know what's going to happen. So the man goes to the podium and he, what happens when you snap the microphone into the cord? Pop! And then I had a gooseneck thing. So he goes like this, you know, adjusting it. And now it's like the whole mood in the room is gone, all because of this microphone being put in. But, you know, it happens. Following week, he's on a second week of vacation. He goes to the same church. The organist starts playing Come Holy Spirit. I said, well, I guess they do that every week. So he's preparing his heart. 60 seconds before service time, the same guy comes out with the microphone, pop, and then the service begins. And the first thing he thought is, what this church needs is a leader. And what would the leader say to this man? Thank you so much for your service. Every Sunday morning, we are so grateful. Could you do it 15 minutes earlier? That's all a leader does. A leader sees what could be and helps us get there. If you have the gift of leadership, don't withhold it from the rest of us. And this next one is mercy. Man, we need mercy, people. I don't have this as a natural bent. I want judgment. I want correction. But along comes the person with mercy. And in compassion, they help the rest of us to see how God has been so merciful to us. If this is your gift, use it for the glory of God. Now, if you're wondering, I wonder what my spiritual gift is, and you're curious about the gifts in 1 Corinthians and Ephesians and 1 Peter, here's my suggestion. Coming up in June, we have a class on spiritual gifts. You see it on the screen here. It's our Contribute class. One of our membership classes, actually. It's going to be on June 3rd, Sunday, from 1:30 to 4:30. We feed you. If you want to go and discover your spiritual gifts, fill out one of those welcome cards today. Mark it on your calendar. Put it in the offering basket when the service is done and be a part of that, because it's all about all of us serving with the gifts that God has given us. Now, Paul gets really specific. You know what I love about the Apostle Paul? When he gives us a great command like, be a living sacrifice. You know, that's great, but what in the world does that mean? You know, it's like too ethereal. I can't get my hands on it. But now he gets very specific, and he gives us those seven gifts of the Spirit that we should be nurturing in our life. But now he gives us activities that every Christian should be a part of. Now, I'm going to go through this list. It's a fairly long list. What I'm going to ask you is that you ask the Holy Spirit right now, which things on this list are for me? And that's the last fill-in you have on this sheet. So here's what we got. First one, this is from verse 9 of chapter 12 and following. Love must be sincere. We need sincere love. We all need to aim for this. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction. Faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Rejoice with the joyful, mourn with the mournful. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Do not be conceited. Okay, that's the list. It's a lot of stuff there. When I am facing a big list in Scripture like this, I'm like, oh, it's too much. I don't know which one to pick. So I asked the Lord, which ones are for me? So just like I'm asking you to do the same thing, I did this. I filled it out. So here's what I came up with for myself. And I'm just giving this as an example so you can find what you need. So the first one I marked for myself was, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. So how do I do that? It's not necessarily a natural bent, and now I'm commanded to do it. And so someone in our church, some of you know her, Donna Brady, she does our church finances. She challenged me. She said, Steve, International Justice Mission is going to have a prayer gathering in New York City on the 28th. I would like my pastor to be there. Now, what is International Justice Mission? They look at cases of human trafficking all over the world, and they come in working with police to rescue children in particular and women from this slave trade that is taking place. And so I went, and I mean, it broke my heart. I mean, you're seeing that when somebody is arrested in England, for example, they look at the computer files and they find out this child who was being abused from the Philippines, and then they set to find out where this house is that was sending these images so that they can free these children. What's the text say? Hate what is evil. And so what do? I put myself out there to start discovering what are the things that God hates? What are the kinds of things that God loves? So that's a choice that I can follow through with. And last night was powerful as I was exposed to this evil side of this world through International Justice Mission. But that was my seeking to honor the scripture. Here's another one for me. Never lacking zeal. Do you ever notice that some Christians you hang out with seem to be like the chosen frozen? They go to the first church of the frigid air. You know, it's like there's no zeal, there's no passion in them. And I've learned that if I hang out with them, I come start acting like them myself. And I don't want to do that. So I might hang out with Sue over here, who's always like bubbling over in the Lord kind of thing. And then one of the reasons I look for people like that is because I know I can easily just lose it, you know, and just become one of those people lacking in zeal. And so I took that and saying, I want to not lack in zeal for the faith. So I want to be with people who inspire that zeal in me. Here's another one, faithful in prayer. Now, why did I put that? Pastor, you're paid to pray. You should be praying all the time. What's the big deal? Why would you put that down? Because I am lazy. I am slothful. And you know why I go to prayer meeting on Tuesday nights? Because there's a time where it forces me to be in a community where people are praying. Why was I there yesterday at the Jim Cimbala event? Because I want to be challenged to be a prayer. It doesn't come naturally to me. So what I do is I want to put it on my radar, on my agenda, that I can be what I need to be. Here's another one. Don't be proud. Do you ever notice that we in this pastoral position, we have a tendency to be proud? I mean, we have egos. And when you get on a stage, it's like the ego gets bigger. So there I am after Easter, and I was waiting for the text message. It's from another church in Long Island. And he gave it to me. Here it came. So how was your Easter? What he really wanted to know is how many people came to Easter. But he's saying it politely, you know. So I know what he wants, and I know what he knows what I want. So I said, we had a great Easter, good service. I put the spiritual stuff in there. You know, people came to faith and all that stuff. And then I said, we had, you know, 2,700 people. And he comes back with his text, which was, oh, praise the Lord. I'm so glad. It was a great service. That's wonderful to hear. God was with us too. We had 2,896. To which I go, it's not fair. You know, I'm angry. That's the pride. That's his evil side of Steve that just like percolates over from time. So I put that on my thing. Don't be proud. And then I put on this mercy because it's not natural for me to be merciful. And so I said, Lord, help me with that. I'm giving you this as an example because I don't think any of us can go through all this list perfectly. But could you ask the Spirit, which is the item on this list for me to be a living sacrifice that you're calling me to? I want to end now with my story of Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot is the missionary that helps me understand to be what a living sacrifice is. So he graduates from Wheaton College, 1949. He feels burdened to go into missions. And you know what he felt reaching out to? The Aka Indians in South America. Why? Because they had never had anyone tell them the gospel of Jesus. So they got a missionary plane and they start dropping care packages over into them. The year is 1956. Week after week, more care packages. They just kind of want to seed the way. This tribe was known to be violent. And so they just wanted to make sure that they were showing that we're coming in peace, we're coming in graciousness. Eventually, they landed the seaplane on a river, and they met the first Aka Indians, and it was a positive meeting, and they greeted each other. They didn't have the language, but they gave them more gifts. And then they felt, we're ready. So they land the plane on another day. Tribesmen came out, murdered all the missionaries, every one of them. And the other side of the story, which is just unbelievable, the missionary wives decided we're going to pick up where our husbands left off. They moved into the village. The whole village converted to Christianity. And the people who murdered their husbands became the fathers of the kids. It was unbelievable. So people started looking at Jim Elliot's life and say, are there any signs of him being so willing to give his life in his life? And they found his diary from when he was at Wheaton College. And this is what he wrote in his diary, 1948. He said, referring to Jesus, he makes his ministers a flame of fire. And then he asked this question, am I ignitable? God, deliver me from the dead asbestos of other things, things that distract. I don't want to be like that. Saturate me with the oil of the Spirit so that I may be a flame. But flame is transient, often short-lived. Canst thou bear this, my soul, short life? In me there dwells the Spirit of the great short-lived, whose zeal for God's house consumed him. Make me thy fuel, flame of God. And he had a short life. And his son in 1990 wrote in Christianity Today, my dad gave all for the Lord, and I'm glad he did. And I didn't have him to raise me, but the Lord took care of me, and my dad made the right choice. Paul says we are to be living sacrifices. Would you pray with me? Father, what a privilege it is to be able to have the Apostle Paul, by your Holy Spirit, speak what we need to hear. Lord, in this moment, you're doing work. There is the person who needs to make the career change. There is the person who is thrown in the towel in their marriage but is called to press on. There is the person who is estranged from their mother or father, their son or daughter, but is called to extend mercy, is called to let their love be sincere. Lord, you know where we hurt and you know where we are. What we want to be is living sacrifices, no longer conforming to this world, but being transformed. Lord, may we be that flame that burns bright for you and your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.